Doink. He's going to dismiss me. I know it.
Well, I've pushed it. You should be.
Do you need to do vocal warm-ups or anything?
When the people that you know don't like you and your treasured friendships end, tune into this podcast where your artificial friends.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the program. I'm Andy Chanley. That's Larry Morgan over there. Josh Fligger is here.
Hi.
Sam Farmer is, I don't know. He's in the Big Easy.
Does he even care about us anymore?
He's on assignment. Set this down. It's beer time.
Beer episode.
It's a beer episode.
About time.
Beer episode. It has been so long.
It's been a drought.
I know.
Give me a draft.
Now,
to end the drought.
I picked these out fairly randomly, although this one with a particular thought in mind, because as we record this, it is still morning hours.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yes.
So I thought I would go with a cold brew milk stout.
Oh.
So it feels like it's a breakfast beer.
It's called Early Bird.
It's from the fine folks at Coronado Brewing Company who do excellent work.
Are they down in San Diego?
Yes. And this is, and look at that, bird is the word.
Ah, I like that.
Nice.
Have you heard?
Surely, everybody's heard.
About the bird?
About the bird.
Bird is the word. Should I look that up and have that be the
You know, I just thought of a great, you know how they're pretty much making every flavor of beer now? And I think I just thought of one that they haven't and that they should.
Bird flavored?
Lucky Charms marshmallow flavor. You can get all rid of the grainy part, just the marshmallows. That'd be good
beer,
right?
The grainy part was my favorite part.
No,
you guys like
that. That was just a filler because they couldn't fill a box up with just the marshmallows.
Bird, about the bird. Bird. The bird's a winner. Well, a bird, bird, bird. Bird is a winner. Well, a bird, bird.
You name the band?
Well, a bird is a winner. Well, a bird, bird.
The Trashmen.
Yep.
Can you get to the part where he goes?
We're gonna do that part.
We're
gonna do that part live with our beer.
All right, take a whiff of that here.
All right,
this is Early Bird. Oh. Early Bird from Coronado Brewing.
Nice.
That's interesting.
Oh, I like that.
It's
it looks like it should be heavy, but it isn't at all.
Yeah, it's like a, I don't know, it's kind of like a...
Did you get that little chocolate thing at the end
Yeah,
there?
It's a milk stout brewed with coffee and chocolate in there.
Ah, yeah, I got the it's like a Guinness with a coffee in it.
Yeah. You okay?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting doesn't always necessarily mean you enjoy it.
No, I like it.
It's kind of like seeing... 5% of alcohol.
Yeah. It's kind of like seeing... It's kind of like seeing your friends.
Okay,
that was me and the record.
That was Josh drinking his beer.
It's kind of like when you go see your friends play, and you and I have talked about this many times, Andy, when you see somebody you know because you want to support them,
sure.
And you see the thing that they either created or that they're a part of that is sometimes not necessarily up to the standard of artistic integrity that you were hoping.
Yes.
And then you...
Like Kanye West.
You try and keep your own...
To not
personal,
lie.
Yes, your own... You try to be the most authentic person you can while also being supportive.
Yes.
And you say things like...
That was a show.
You did it. You did it. You did it. You really did it. Here's another one.
Yeah.
That was something.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
You know, here's a good one. Real good mix tonight. They had the mix. They had you dialed in. The mix was really good.
Here's a good one. It wouldn't have been the same without you. It's accurate, right?
Yeah.
Without taking a side, it would not have been the same.
Oh, yeah. That's tough.
I had fun.
Yeah.
I had fun.
Yeah, that was... That was...
Boy, that was an experience. If you say it with a smile, they almost buy it.
But
the problem is all of us have created stuff in our lives, yes. and now we're very in tune with yes. those phrases. Yes.
Yeah.
We're like, oh, what do you mean by interesting? What
yeah.
mean?
If I ever see you in the concourse and you're like, you did it.
Hey, oh, no. Andy, how was I on the podcast today?
Oh, Larry.
Wouldn't have been the same
wouldn't
without
you. Wouldn't have been the same without you.
Oh, that's nice.
That was nice.
Right?
It's good.
This is good. I like the early bird from Coronado. Is this on Coronado Island?
I believe they are based actually right there on Coronado Island.
That's where we, Laura and I spent our 10th
yeah.
anniversary.
Yeah, Coronado, California.
Nice.
Yeah, they
Coronado's
make great stuff.
Lovely. If you've
Isn't
never been
beautiful?
To Coronado,
yeah. Have
it's
you
amazing.
Hotel Del? Have you
yeah,
stayed there?
Yeah, that's where we stayed.
It's so classic. It's so
oh,
great.
It's so haunted.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Wait, which hotel are you talking about?
The Hotel Del
Coronado. Did you
I played a wedding on the roof of that.
Really?
Yeah, I had to play the march down to the
The wedding march?
Yeah, the wedding march, and it was a it was a terrible song. it was a rip off of Blackbird. It was
by the Beatles?
I can't forget the I can't remember the guy's name.
Thanks, Larry.
But yeah, me and a girl sang it, and I wore a.
Was it Blackbird that you sang?
No, it was a rip. It was some. Forget his name. I hate the guy. I hate the guy's music.
Oh,
but
no.
You guys would like him.
What is that? Wait, what?
Well, after last episode, yeah, I think you guys would like him.
Hey, we grew up in the I grew up in the 70s. I couldn't help myself.
But yeah, no, that's a great little hotel.
You remember the wedding song?
Oh,
when a couple gets
no.
together and there is love. Now that's a shit sandwich.
That is awful. That's right up there with "You're having my baby."
Oh yeah. Yeah.
What a lovely way of saying how much you love me.
Yeah. Way to make it all about me.
I can feel you feel it growing. Oh God, Paul Anka, what were you thinking?
You got Christmas cards from me?
Yeah,
we did. Yes, we did. Thank you very much.
The Hotel Del Coronado is in one of the pictures.
Oh, wow.
One of the family pictures in the corner. We're on the sand. That's the Hotel Del behind
us. I remember my cinema geek history, they used that for a very prominent section of the classic Some Like It Hot. When it's supposed to be taking place in
yes.
Florida.
Yes, yes, yes.
They used the Hotel Del
yes,
for that whole
that's
resort.
True. That's true.
And by the way, it looks exactly the same.
No, yeah, it looks precisely
It's
the
classic.
Same. And it's kind of like, it has that the hotel from The Shining feel.
Yeah, because there used to be nothing down there. I mean, it's a little more built up now, but it used to be almost isolated on that island.
What?
This is a picture of me of what I just remember I had. That's what I wore to play on top of
that. Oh, must send that to our Facebook page.
So, do you
want
to describe it? Or
you've got to put this on the Facebook page.
All right. Everybody look on the your artificial
okay.
friend's Facebook page.
Imagine.
Oh, my God, Josh.
Imagine.
Let me see that.
Imagine Mickey Rourke, Barfly era, wearing a rented white tuxedo.
And the tuxedo had sewn in paisley on it.
Let me see.
And a fro.
Oh, dude,
that is amazing.
And a
wow.
cigarette hanging out of her mouth.
That is.
That was what I wore to that wedding.
Amazing.
This like. You could have easily convinced me this was like a Graham Parker still for one of his albums.
Nilsson. It's a Harry Nilsson picture. That's
yeah,
so good.
Okay,
God.
The story behind this.
Why that's not your avatar in everything you do.
I have a great story behind this suit.
Okay, everybody so, take a look.
We're
going to
put it up there.
Yeah, K Earth. It's on the it's on the URL. You know what? I'm going to put it on the K Earth Facebook page with no explanation. It's on the Your Artificial Friends Facebook page now.
He gets three tablespoons of beer.
Morning beer.
And zero food.
All right, so me and my roommate, this is before this is when we were single. We had a house in Little Armenia in Hollywood, and I had three roommates, and we were all from the same town, okay?
You talked to us about this earlier.
We all moved out on separate occasions, and three of us had the same first name.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and we're all, like, different ages.
Wow.
Anyway, my other roommate, one time, we went to Jet Rag. Is it on La Brea?
On La Brea, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a reclaimed clothing. A used clothing.
And he found, like, he just found this amazing 70s brown tuxedo, okay? And he's like, I have to buy this. I don't even know why. I just have to buy this brown tuxedo. So then I got it in my head, well, if he's going to get a tuxedo, I got to get a tuxedo so then we can wear them together.
Right.
So I go out and I find that jacket. And then I go to a tuxedo rental place and buy a used pair of tuxedo pants, and then I buy the ruffled shirt, right? So what we'd do is, like, once a month, we'd, like, on a Saturday night when we couldn't find anything to do, we'd be like, okay, tonight's the night. We'd start pre-gaming, you know, and start drinking while we're getting ready, and then we'd bust out the suits and put them on and meet in the kitchen and drink till like 10 and then go out till like 2 in the morning. But when we were pre-gaming, we would have to come up with a story why we were wearing these tuxedos. Because if you walk into a bar with two dudes wearing funky tuxedos, girls will talk. They will always ask you why you're dressed up. And if you make the story, the first story was that we had a friend of ours was a veterinarian, right? And she had a bunch of cats, and what one day a cat came in from off the street and it beat up pretty bad, you know, and she nursed the cat back to life and got him all better and everything, and she fell in love with the cat, so she ended up just taking him home. Well, this was a boy cat, and she had a girl cat, and then he found out these cats were perfect partners together, so she was having a pet wedding. And we were invited to the pet wedding. And that's what we would tell these people, right? And they'd be like, that's so cool. And we're like, yeah, we know.
Excuse me. Just had to make a little mental note here. I'm writing a screenplay called Pet Wedding.
Pet Wedding.
For real? Or no?
I am now.
Yeah.
And then the other favorite one was...
Should we just sit here and brainstorm on it?
Put it together?
Should it be the rest of the episode?
That'd be great.
Okay, go ahead, John.
The other favorite one was that we had just attended a christening of a boat.
Nice.
And we would just sit there and drink Jack Daniels and see what's the stupidest story we can come up with and correlate together. And then we would go out and talk to girls, and they would always believe us. And then we'd trick them into coming back up to our place because I told them I had Atari.
Nice.
And that we had an Atari hooked up to the TV, and that was a deal.
That was
deal
a big
sealer.
Deal.
All the time.
Great.
Wow.
You want to get a girl back from the bar, yeah. You just go, hey, I got Atari 2600 hooked up to my television. They'd be like, shut up. I'm like, I swear to God.
If I
get back to your place and you don't have an Atari hooked up, I swear to God.
Woman, we're going to be duck hunting in no time.
Everybody knows chicks dig Atari.
Yeah. You teach them a little something about Missile Command.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, God.
Huh?
Yeah, no, we got you.
That is awesome. So what was the name of the boat?
I don't know.
The ship.
Oh, yeah, we moved on
by
then. Go that far?
So by then I'm like, so what's your name? Tell me about yourself. Hey, you need a drink? You look like you need to freshen up there. Let me get you a drink, honey.
Well played. Well played, sir.
Wow. Pet wedding.
Pet wedding.
Shall we?
Doesn't that sound...
Is it animated? Or is it...
No.
No, it's real pets?
No.
Do their mouths move?
I'm thinking Vince Vaughn is in it?
No, it sounds like a Sandler movie.
Adam Sandler.
A crappy Sandler movie.
Well, maybe that's it. The premise is that a very lonely guy has to make up stories. And here's the soundtrack. No, Wayne's World. It's already been done.
Yeah.
How about...
So he has to make up stories about... You know, to meet girls, he can't, and so she's so interested about going to this pet wedding that he has to make one time
the story goes a little too far.
Yeah,
yep.
And so he has to actually organize a pet wedding.
Yep, exactly.
And he hates animals, and he's allergic to cats.
Yes, he's allergic.
Yes. There's our story. There's our, and then it all ends in wacky hijinks.
You know what's great? We don't need to write this at all. Somebody's going to hear this, write the story, make it into a movie, and we'll have this holy document to go back and show as evidence.
It all stems back to my tuxedo.
And we'll at least get a story by credit.
That's actually a great question for this podcast. May I ask it right now?
This is just popped up on the YouTube. This is people are probably wondering why I'm playing this. We're just letting the YouTube go. Where did we start again? Oh, the bird by the trash man.
Yeah.
Somehow YouTube
decided that this was
next
left,
in line.
Left a string of breadcrumbs. Oh no, we went through. The Animals, House of the Rising Sun, which is one of my favorite songs about a whorehouse. And into this, there are a couple other songs in there as well, but this is running in the background. Yeah. We'll see what comes next.
Here's my question. Right. Is there any great, amazing, creative idea that you have come up with and then seen the exact same thing become a major television plot point or movie idea or whatever? Because I've got two. Josh, you're going crazy.
I had one that I...
And by the way, I'm not saying that somebody stole our stuff.
Right.
But it's like, oh, shit, if I had just
done
that.
I had an idea that literally I explained to like 100 people and found the product about 10 years later. It really? Made exactly the way I said.
Can you tell us what it was?
Yeah. That my okay. The idea was, it was a pair of underwear, okay? And it had a little...
okay.
And I think somebody came up with this
a long time ago.
No. And there was like a little sleeve right along your butt crack, okay? And I got this idea from an aquarium. There was like a pocket. Pocket.
Oh, okay.
Jeez, I was going to say.
It was sounding like a thneed from the Lorax.
So, all right. So what you would do, and so it was a medical product, and it was for people that had uncontrollable gas.
Uh-huh.
So you get a charcoal filter and slide it down in that crack. So when you farted, it would come out and maybe smell like strawberries.
Wait a minute.
Or something.
This exists?
Yes, it actually exists. And I even went down to the point where I said charcoal filter because I got the idea from the filter in an aquarium. And then I saw in a medical catalog the underwear and the pouches, the sleeves and everything that...
made of activated charcoal.
Made of charcoal. But my idea was more of like, here's what we do. We're gonna also turn it into kind of like a Pokemon thing. I'm gonna make like limited edition scents. Okay, so now farting becomes fashionable. So you know if there's only like 100 peach flavored sleeves in the world, and you're in an elevator, and all of a sudden someone's like, and you're like, peach. Oh.
Yeah.
You know, that guy must have some money. You know what I mean? And
nice.
then you create your own kind of currency.
That is the point where the ideas diverge, which was their invention was eliminate the foul smell of gaseous emissions, and yours was make your fart smell like strawberry.
Mine was create good smells.
Designer farts. Yes.
So that everybody knew you had just farted. It just happened to be lemon pledge
exactly.
smell.
Exactly. Designer farts.
My God.
I like the early bird. That's it's a gassy beer.
Is it?
Really? I've had.
Are you about to fart strawberries?
Would you like a charcoal sleeve?
It's very good though. I quite like it.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I have a more traditional. Are you ready for number
Why
two?
Not? What was the alcohol content on that?
Only 5.5.
Really?
Yeah.
Seemed
feels a little heavier.
It
have you had any food today?
Not much.
Okay.
I had a little bit of oatmeal at 7.
Do you have one of those situations, Andy, where you came up like with a great idea and you saw almost the exact same thing?
I have had I've written a bunch of screenplays. Mm-hmm. Used to have a writing partner, you know.
Yeah.
a bunch of them, and I have seen specific plot points
yeah.
from those recreated in there, and I won't mention them because they're not like watershed things, but it's like we did that. And
a good friend of mine, Lisa Arch, and I were talking about being writing partners together. We wrote a friend's spec, and the odd thing about for the TV show, which at the time writing a spec was a way to break in.
Sure. People that don't know, a spec is a speculative. You
right.
write it on speculation that someone might pick it up.
Take an existing show
yes.
and then you try and write an original episode of that show based upon the characters that already exist.
Yeah, and from that people can see how well you can flesh out those characters
yeah.
and write dialogue
and
so forth.
And one of the subplots we came up with at the time, it was the 90s, so it was that Phoebe, who was a massage therapist, got a pager. And it was new to everybody, and it was always going off, and that ended up in Friends in a kind of a different way, but just enough that Lisa and I were like, oh, shit, we can't send that spec out now because it looks like... But the big one for me was I was in film school at USC, and Saturday Night Live had... Lorne Michaels had left. It was that first season after Lorne and all... Any of the original players had left SNL.
Mm-hmm.
So Belushi was gone, Aykroyd was gone, Bill Murray was gone, and it was a brand new group of people, most of whom you don't remember.
Tim Kazurinsky?
I think he was part of it.
Is this pre-Joe Piscopo?
Yeah, this was Mary Gross. Actually, Gilbert Gottfried was one. Charles Rocket was there. It was Jean Dumanian was the producer. She lasted one season. It was a terrible, terrible. and my friend Gary Kroger was one of the people on that show. He and Julia Louis-Dreyfus and Brad Hall were all brought in. They were all brought in at the same time.
I can have you do that all day.
And this is how bad SNL was at that time. Somewhere mid-season, they said, "Hey, are you funny? Make a short film and send it to us." Now, two things about that. That clearly they were hurting for material. They were trying to get attention. Video didn't exist at the time. They were looking, I don't know how they were accepting, you know, movies at that point. Super 8, probably. They never ended up showing one on the show.
Wow.
So, but I decided, I was in film school at USC. It was my freshman year. It was 1980. And I decided, I'm going to do a bit. And I got my friend Pete Siegel, who's a director now, and I wrote this bit. And I was, at the time, and it's so funny to think about it, 1980, at the time, it seemed like there were a number of openly gay people in Hollywood, which is strange to say now because things didn't really break open until, you know, Ellen and stuff. But at the time, I felt like there were a lot of people talking about how they were openly gay. And so I did this bit where I was interviewing my friend Pete about how he was coming out as heterosexual, that he was, and there were all these jokes about, I actually like really big fan of John Wayne. It was like all these masculine things, and I was shocked that he was admitting them on camera. So I shot it, edited, sent it in. I got this really funny response that was a form letter. But it basically said, "We have received your film. We have notified Kodak that they will no longer be developing any film for you in the future." It was like this really irreverent, And then there was this handwritten scrawl from a like assistant that said, "We're just kidding. We got your submission. Thank you so much." And then the other person who had written the letter wrote below that, "Disregard above sentiment." I mean, it was a really funny SNL. It was funnier than anything they did on SNL that season. Okay, so a couple of months later, I showed it to a couple of people, and then a couple of months later, I'm watching an episode that's hosted by Howard Hessman.
Oh,
Dr. Johnny Fever from WKRP.
Yeah. Love him.
He's in a sketch where his son, played by Gary Kroger, comes home from college and has to sit down and have a very tough talk with his father. He said, "Dad, I have to tell you something. I'm not gay." And they go through this whole dialogue where literally some of the exact same lines that I put in my film are in the sketch. So years later, I'm in my dorm room and I'm watching this going, no. Coincidence? No.
It's just an undigested bit of potato.
And then my phone rings in the dorm room, and it's my friend Lorianne Williams, one of the few people I showed it to, and she's going, "Are you watching this? Oh my God, are you watching?" She's screaming at me over the phone. So it was confirmed by another source that it was really close.
It wasn't just you.
Years later, I become friends with Gary Kroger, and I ask him about that. And he says, "Oh no. No, that was actually a bit we did back in Chicago before we even got to SNL. So, it's just a coincidence, man." Huh. But it's so close. Yeah.
Have you ever been to Chicago? Maybe you ripped him off.
Oh, true.
To write your little film.
Wow. I didn't think of that.
Maybe
thanks, Andy.
Maybe he's a little irked at your submission.
Jerk.
Wow, this suddenly took a very bad time. You guys are angry drunks. So. Who's ready for beer two, by the way?
Me. Count me.
All right. We're going to Acoustic Ales.
Oh,
look at that.
Acoustic Ales. I thought it had kind of a music feel to it.
IPL. What is
IPL.
That?
IPL. Oh, this is India Pale Lager.
Wow. Never had one of these.
I thought of Indianapolis Power and Light.
Sure you did.
Indiana Power and Light.
Another San Diego company.
Nice.
But what's it say? Brewing Experiment.
Yeah, Acoustic Ales Brewing Experiment, IPL.
I like the logo. It's it says IPL, and it has the black stripe through it. It's black and white. Looks like the Public Image Limited.
Yes, it looks like exactly. PIL, yeah. Right. Oh, look at that. There's a little gramophone on the top.
How about that?
That's perfect.
I guess it's no mistake since it's music related. That
all right.
It,
what do you want to talk about?
I don't know. Should I turn up the...
yeah. That's what you
want to do. How do we get to this from the Trash Man, The Bird Is the Word?
And Queen, Bohemian Rhapsody.
You know what? I'm resetting it. I'm going to go look
for
a
my
nice...
my kid loses it on that song. His butt just starts shaking.
In a good way?
Yeah, he's a dancer.
Wow, look at this. This is a very different beer than we just had. It's maybe we should have started with this, but I wanted the milk
stout. That's more of a golden color.
It's an Indian Pale Lager. I've never had one of those. Let that head.
It smells hoppy. Down.
Oh, it's going to be hoppy. Let's see what the description says.
Do you know why?
That's why. Thank you.
And it all comes around.
Oh, thank God Andy Chandler's here. I beg your pardon. Rose Garden. Loretta Lynn?
Nope. You got the Lynn part right.
Lynn
Anderson.
Anderson. Damn it.
You played this on the 10 of 10, didn't you?
I think I did.
It's still driving me crazy. I can't think of the name of that guy's song. I played it.
So what do we have here? This is the IPL.
This is the IPL it's from Acoustic Ales Brewing Experiment.
So this is kind of like a session ale? Is that
this
right?
This is good.
Oh, that smells good. I haven't tasted it yet.
That's nice.
Smells
oh, wow.
Like grassy.
Yeah.
Fresh and like lemongrass.
Nice palate cleanser.
Mmm. Me likey.
Oh, that's very drinkable. Mmm. Ooh, it is grassy.
Yeah.
Because it's nice. I'm grassy. Because
I'm grassy. What are you trying to think of again?
The stupid name of that guy. The song. Remember at the top of the show, I said I played a song on
Blackbird, a knockoff of Blackbird.
And I'm still trying to think. It's on the tip of my tongue.
So it's an established song.
He's I would say he's like Jackson Brown, you know, a singer songwriter type guy.
Was it about a blackbird?
No.
What was it about?
The chord structure is exactly Blackbird.
Tell me what the song was about.
I didn't sing it. I don't know.
Well, can you call the guy?
I'm like literally searching artists like Jackson Brown.
Dan Fogelberg?
No.
Can you call who sang it? Are you still in touch with those people?
No, that was an ex-girlfriend. I don't think my wife appreciated that. Yeah, that was like 10, 15 years ago.
All right.
Oh, forget it. It'll pop in my head. I'll just scream it out in the middle of the show. But yeah, this is good beer.
Have we run out of topics? Should we just bring the music up? What was that?
What happened?
Oh, he's got a goofy first name.
Buffering.
I don't know what this is.
You do.
Oh, Billy, don't be a hero? Oh, man. Who is this?
Bo Donaldson and the Haywoods.
The marching
band. Hey, the song by the drummer.
Is that Bo Donaldson?
I don't know. I didn't know the drummer sang this.
Who knows Bo Donaldson and the Haywoods? Bo Donaldson and the Haywoods has a exquisite moment in one of the classic comedy bits of all time.
Boz Scaggs.
What song?
I don't know.
Lowdown?
No, but it's Boz Scaggs. I knew. I'm like, he's got a stupid first name.
Lido Shuffle?
No. It's got to be a ballad.
You lend me a dime?
Play it.
I know what you're gonna sing. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. But that's Blackbird.
I know, but he does. It's the song. Well, Blackbird's more. But the song is like.
Oh,
I'm telling you, it's exactly, it's just a ripoff of Blackbird. It's a Boz Scaggs song.
Hey, you're pretty good on that git fiddle.
Well, shanks. I've been playing for a while. But yeah, I hated it. I was just like, she picked the song, and I was just like, this is just a ripoff of Blackbird. She's like, no. I'm like, okay, whatever you say. But yeah, Boz Scaggs. It was on the tip of my tongue. I'm like, ah, oh, I know it. I just, he's got a stupid name.
The Bo Donaldson Haywood's the drummer singing this. Can you think of other songs sung by drummers? Just popped in my head, Jackie Blue by the Ozark Mountain Daredevils.
Oh, wow. Well,
it's the Eagles, are you going to say?
Don Henley, yeah. A ton of those.
What about the Romantics?
The Romantics? No. The drummer sings in
that?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Sings lead?
Yeah, I think.
The one with the lisp?
Yeah.
When you're talking in your sleep.
No, what I like about you, that's Romantics, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he sings that song.
Really?
Yeah, have you ever seen the video? He's like, his head's going crazy. I think he does that 80s, like, real intense singing, like, wide-eyed right into the camera. What I like about you!
One of my favorite bands all time, Jellyfish. Andy Sturmer played drums and sang.
Really?
Yeah. Nigel Olsen.
Phil Collins.
Dancing Shoes. Remember that hit?
No, wait, that was Dancing Shoes. You're talking about...
no!
Gordon Lightfoot?
Yeah.
What, you're not a Gordon Lightfoot fan?
No, I'm not a this song fan.
I'm not a man.
We used to play this at the Sound, and it would just turn... My day would change.
I love all this song.
This was my whatever test you guys gave me, you and Gina gave me that morning.
This was
part of that. Yeah.
Well, 4 and 60.
Yeah.
It's just the same. It's the same thing over and over again. Which
for 9 minutes.
Yeah. I was
going to
say it feels like 15 minutes.
That's the thing. I always thought this song was about some frigate that crashed in the 1800s or something. It was in the 70s.
Yeah.
Was it like Lake Superior, Lake Michigan? It was on the Great Lakes too.
Yeah, one of the Great Lakes. Yeah. I forget which one.
The song is longer than what it took to actually sink the boat. Yeah,
and I'm not against long epic songs, but if you got three chords and you play them over and over again for 9 minutes, at about minute four it gets grating.
Yeah, no bridge, no nothing. Yeah,
I like to just kind of hum the Gordon Lightfoot favorites.
I remember REM was a very new band when I was a freshman in college, and my roommate was obsessed. And Michael Stipe had this reputation for mumbling his lyrics,
right,
to the point where you just couldn't decipher.
They named an album Murmur.
Yeah, and they would never put, until much later on when he started to enunciate, but also he was very defensive about telling people what he was saying. Right. It was this weird mystery.
A lot of his lyrics were kind of just stream of consciousness.
Yeah, so my roommate actually wrote to IRS Records and said, hey, is there any way that I could get some sort of lyric sheet or something printed out so I could know what he's saying in Radio Free Europe or whatever it was? Yeah. And they wrote back saying, that will not be happening. But they basically put a stop.
They wrote back.
Last week I was watching, it was on Access or AXS television. It was something about like you know how they do like the making of an album or something. Mm-hmm. And it was The Making of Paranoid by Black Sabbath. And it was really great. And they get to the last song, and they're talking about Paranoid and how they just had to, they went in and wrote it as like a 3-minute filler, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And they play the board record, they play the recording of them writing the song and Ozzy just, like making up the melody and not knowing the words yet. And it is one of the funniest and best things.
Because
he's just rambling on about things and it's just not making sense all over the place. First beer spill. Party foul.
Is that? Do you need a towel?
Yeah.
Ooh, do you have a towel?
No. Got to go inside and get one.
Slurp it off the table.
God bless it, Larry.
Here.
I'm not doing anything. I'll just sit down.
I'd be happy to,
right,
but
there.
I don't know where anything is.
Party foul.
Oh, no. It foamed up on me.
He's literally holding the beer on the table with his hand, preventing it from dripping in his lap.
Oh, and it's dripping in my hand now.
Yeah, that's all right. Drink all it. Right. Still good.
You think Andy's really mad at me? Is he gonna?
There you go.
Thank you. Roll can you put it under my? God. Can you? I am two hands in it right now. All right.
That's what she said.
All right. Thank you.
This is the first time you ever drank in the morning? What the hell?
Apparently, yes.
What do I have on my?
It foamed up on me.
What the heck is that? Mm. I don't want
to
know.
What, now, what are you doing over there?
He just pulled something off his sock. It was nasty.
He's a list.
Sir, I got you two. Dumping God. Beer and stepping in cat poop.
Cat poop.
Anyway, so Gordon Lightfoot. damn it. I'm sorry, Andy. I'm a terrible
can't
guest.
Have anything nice.
I did bring the beer.
Well, you did do that. You know what we need? We need a cool change.
Are we going back to Little River Band?
Yeah. Oh,
this is going to make me want to nap.
Look, the dolphins are jumping in the video.
If there's one thing in my life that's missing, it's the time I spend alone without Larry.
Oh, boy.
Sailing on the cool and bright clear water.
All right. Mess cleaned up over there?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I'm all done.
Where were we?
Oh. Did I tell you I finished up my, did I tell you about I made the sauerkraut thing again this year?
The sauerkraut and wieners?
And, I basically take a pork roast. It's a Pennsylvania, have you ever heard of this? It's a Pennsylvania kind of, comes from a Dutch. It's like a good luck thing to eat on the first day of the year. And every year I take a pork roast and I cover it in sauerkraut, right? And then I cook that for like 3 hours, pull it out, shred the pork into the sauerkraut, then cut up a bunch of kielbasa, throw that in there, then throw a bunch of hot dogs in there, and then go back in and rebake it so all that cooks. Then you take it out and you serve it over a big bed of mashed potatoes.
Oh, God, that sounds
great.
Oh, it
was so good. I farted so much. My house just smelled. It was so bad.
Well, you,
so
you sent that picture, and then I realized my wife just decided completely randomly, you know what? It was cold that day, and it was like, I'm going to make something hearty I haven't made in forever. Yeah. And she made a pork roast with sauerkraut and apples.
Yeah, well,
and then I realized, here's the strange connection. My wife's father is from Pittsburgh.
Oh, okay.
But that recipe is actually from her mother's side. Her grandmother, her mother on her mother's side, was Czechoslovakian, and that's where that came from. So it's, we had, I, and I, it was so satisfying. It was,
oh,
and I didn't realize
so
there was
good.
A tradition
it's so
involved.
Good. Yeah, well, I guess what it stems from is that the pigs root forward, while chickens they brush their stuff backwards. So like rooting forward is into the new year, so it's good luck. And that's why it's all like pork based. And then it's all the sauerkraut, I think, is because back in olden times when they had to keep stuff in the barn,
preserve it.
That was like the peak of the season,
right?
So then they would throw all their sauerkraut in there for the year, well, not the year, but like everything that we had pickled and everything from that, and it was good luck. And it's just been a kind of tradition.
Well, explain why black-eyed peas are a tradition where I grew up in Texas,
in the South.
New Year's Day in Texas. There's going to be a lot of Texans going to be commenting on this. They're going to put nasty comments underneath your tuxedo picture.
Black-eyed peas are a thing?
Black-eyed peas are a thing. New Year's Day.
The band with Fergie?
Yes. We listened. We listened to, I keep thinking of Luscious Lady Lumps, but that's just Fergie solo. Sorry.
My mom, I'm like over half German, and my mom would make sauerkraut and wieners, and we bonded over that. That would be like, once every 2 weeks, we'd have sauerkraut and wieners.
Oh, really?
Isn't that what your neighbor said, you're piss poor?
That was surf and turf. He had beans and wieners.
Beans and wieners.
Yeah.
Beans and wieners.
Oh, my God. I loved sauerkraut and wieners. Sauerkraut wieners on mashed potatoes, the best.
Here's another thing we can talk about that popped in my head. Do you remember when we did the episode when we were talking about do we have any things that we do for luck or anything like
right.
that? And we said no. I realize I have a very big one that I never really realized about.
Before you say it, I told Larry about this the other day. Lara is a real fan of your mother-in-law and the fact that she has to spit three times when someone says monkey.
Monkey.
What is that? What is that?
She's a lunatic.
Oh, well, that explains. That's easy.
I love you, Cindy, but your mom's a lunatic. All right. So, yeah, I remember that show thinking, like, I don't do anything like that. You know, I'm not really superstitious, lucky, you know, don't walk under a ladder type of guy. Unless it comes to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, no.
Now here's what I want to bring up. Do you guys, when you're watching a football game, do you feel that there's some things that you do that sway the contest?
Absolutely. Well, I think that watching a game where I have fantasy football players engaged, I think me watching the game has an effect on
it. Oh, wow. I have always associated whether I wore the gear that day or not. It's like, oh God, I put the shirt on and I jinxed him. If I had just put the shirt on other way around.
I had the first one I have is there's a certain coffee cup that I have to drink from that says it has the Pittsburgh Steelers logo and it says the AFC Central. That's how old it is. And, wow. It's only game day morning. So if I drink it like on a Saturday and they play on that Thursday, I'm messing up the juju. I only have to drink from that coffee from the game day morning. Now, there's things that even my wife will do that she knows that I'm thinking about. Like if I'm watching a Steeler game and they're kicking ass, and all of a sudden she comes in and sits down for about 20 minutes, and then all of a sudden they start losing. She knows that I'm thinking the reason they're losing is because she came in, and she will get up and walk out and go, and then they'll start winning again. And she, like, I've had her say, she's like, I left because I know you thought I was jinxing again. And it just happened. The reason I remember this is I was watching the New England game, right?
Right.
And the Steelers weren't kicking their butts, but they were winning a good part of the game. And towards the end of that game, it was like, they're going to pull this off. And I remember standing up, and the remote control was in the middle of the living room floor. And I looked at it, and I'm like, I'm going to pick up this remote control so nobody steps on it. And I picked it up, and I think within 30 seconds, New England scored. Okay? And I'm sitting there, and then that was when New England scored like 10 points. Or maybe they scored maybe 10 points in like 55 seconds or like a minute 35.
Right.
And I'm convinced the reason that happens because I picked up the remote. I put it back, and then the Steelers ran down and almost scored again. And had I just not touched it, I think they would have won that game. Sorry, wow. Pittsburgh Steelers.
Wow.
Yeah, no, like I do weird. I have weird stuff, and it only involves that. Like, I don't think, other than the coffee mug, I think there's stuff that I do within the game. Like, if I sit in the same spot the whole time and they're winning, then all of a sudden I move to another chair and they start losing, it's because I moved to that chair. Do you do that or is that
that's cuckoo. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Sorry. We're worried about you.
I relate to, I feel like there's things that I do that change the game.
That's a popular conceit that people think what they do on NFL Sundays has a direct we'll play fantasy football and I feel like sometimes I need to be watching a game for something to happen.
Yeah, I'll try to avoid getting a Baltimore Raven or a New England Patriot on my team because I hate having to even have one positive emotion towards either of those franchises.
Yeah.
And especially
when they're playing each
other.
Yeah,
and it's like, you know, like I can't bench Tom Brady, and he's playing the Steelers, but it's like...
Because you want to be able to have one separate from the other. In other words, if the Colts are really sucking in a season like
your favorite team,
I want to be able to go to fantasy to have a respite from that,
right? Mm-hmm.
And vice versa, if things are going crappy. So I rarely will have like key Colt players anymore on my fantasy.
Now, see, I take it the opposite way. I always try to get key Pittsburgh Steelers on my team
just to give you something to root for.
Well, then now I can play them. That can be like two-thirds of my team, and I don't have to worry about them both rooting. I'm rooting for the same thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. Mm.
All right. Good talk.
Thanks. You can you hear me, that fiddle right there?
Are we wrapping up?
Take it over, Boz Skaggs.
Oh, has it been 10 minutes or has it been like 45? It's been like 45, right? You had a party foul.
Oh,
is there something else you wanted to say, Larry?
No, I just, I guess I just,
done?
I just never want this to end. Oh.
Is it because you didn't get to tell him? All the
things I now you're going to make me cry.
Living Years? Special song.
I missed your dad.
You know what we forgot to talk about, Wealthy, next time? Is artists that we're embarrassed to like.
Oh, we got to do that next time.
Yeah, we'll, right. we'll save that one.
Do that next time. I want to say that any copyrighted material that appears in this is the sole copyright. A property of the copyright holder, and it appears only for scholarship, criticism, news reporting, parody, or satire. We'll leave it to you to figure out which of those it is.
And this time, Boss Gags, please don't sue us.
Yeah.
You still suck.
For your sucky, for your rip-off of Blackbird,
yeah, don't rip
apparently.
Off the Beatles, Boss.
Is it Miss Sun? No,
if you
not.
Said the name, I would know it, but I don't know any Boss Gags songs, but I know that one's just a rip-off of the Beatles.
Wow. You know, beer makes you angry.
Morning beer. No, you know what makes me angry? Spilt beer, Larry.
Yeah, Larry.
Oh, God. I spilled my own, and I sucked it off the table. And we're back to Rod Stewart. What?
Gallon.
That was the last episode, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Do we have the right key this time?
I think so.
I like it.
Are we going to play the song, or are you just going to do the recorded
There's
version?
There's always tomorrow for dreams to come true.
So you ripped off your song?
Please don't sue me.
From Rudolph the Red-Nosed
no,
Reindeer?
No, the same. It's like Blackbird. I'm like Boz.
You're Boz.
Yeah.
There's only so many notes in the world, right?
When the people that you know don't like you and you treasure friendships end. To this podcast, where your artificial friends are.
Beauty. That's good. Oh, forgot this one. Fortress strong with chains
upon my God. You know that there's way more Gordon Lightfoot songs than there should be.
If you can see my mind, put a hand upon my hand.
Fucking and Canadians.
Fucking Canadians. That's where it needs to end right there. Fucking Canadians. Cut.